Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we together get into your word. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for continuing the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's talk about what the Bible defines as a heretic, and what do we do when we encounter a heretic? What is a heretic? What is a heresy? So keep in mind that the Bible tells us, commands us to reject heretics after the first and second admonition. We read in Titus chapter 3, verse 9 through 11, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Let me throw in there, recently and for many years now, people, when you call them out as a false teacher, when that is the case and appropriate for the body of Christ to do, and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered to the saints, Jude verse 3. When you do that, a lot of times people are going to say, well, how do you know who I am? Because you call them out
for who
they are. They're not honest with God. They're a deceiver. They're a false teacher. These are all biblical words. If you're teaching falsely, you are a
heretic.
You are a false teacher. And your end is going to be damnation without exception. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. So notice Paul says here in Titus 3:11, speaking specifically of heretics, okay, those who twist the Bible, those who don't take it as a whole, those who siphon out certain verses to the exclusion of the whole of the Word of God, those are heretics. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Notice, though, he says in verse 11, Titus 3, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So Paul goes beyond the veil, if you will, and tells on them as far as what type of people they are in the sight of God, who sees the hearts of all men. And this is the Holy Spirit speaking through the great apostle Paul. So this is a divine revelation, again, behind the curtain of those who put up these fronts and who put up these false doctrines, and after being admonished, or we seek to correct them once and again after the first and second admonition, we are to reject them. But that's what's going on in their hearts and in their corrupted minds, as Scripture speaks of. So a man that is a heretic, according to Titus 3, 9 through 11, is somebody that is subverted, Paul says. And that refers to those who dare to undermine the power and the authority of God, who has spoken to us in his word. And one of the things they like to do is take scripture out of context. They like to grab a little scripture here and grab a little there and completely ignore and become insulated to anything else in the Bible that contradicts those scriptures. There are certain few pet scriptures that they lift out of context, they siphon out of the Bible in order to create a God in their own image. For example, the ones that come to mind that are most poignant in this ministry that we deal with is those who swear by once saved, always saved, or eternal security, and they do not want to hear. They are brazenly depraved. They refuse to hear any scripture. Notice, any scripture. Not my words, God's words. Not the words of true disciples, but actually the words of God. They do not want to hear them. And so you realize that you have to obey God. He says, reject them. So if it's online, you got to block them. If it's in person, you've got to reject them. Shake off the dust of your feet and obey God, according to Titus chapter 3. And also Matthew 7:6, Jesus said, don't throw your pearls to the swine, nor give that which is holy to dogs. This is a divine command. So they're subverted. They are those who pervert or corrupt the scriptures out of a deceived or depraved heart. They twist the scriptures, which is what Paul said. We are not as many which corrupt. That means twist the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Notice those who make a choice. And that's what this word refers to. It involves a choice. Those who make a choice to disregard. I'm talking about the word heretic at this moment. When you look
into it. it. It involves a choice.
A choice to disregard. When there's a court case and you hear about DA, district attorneys getting in trouble and hopefully getting arrested, when they refuse to enter into and they hide evidence that would otherwise exonerate the person that they're prosecuting. This happens every day in America. There's a term for that that's not coming to my mind. It's called exculpatory evidence. Like when they did this to Carter Page. Many of you are familiar with that story. And they had evidence that he could not have committed the crime that they were prosecuting him for. And they had cold, hard evidence, and they hid that evidence. That is a criminal offense, and it sure is in the eyes of God. And that's what people do. That seems like the most blaring, heretical characteristic is people that are heretics. They will not, they refuse to consider the whole of the Word of God when they draw a conclusion. And man, they've been taught this, or they'll talk about how I've studied this for this many years. It doesn't matter. That doesn't make it true. That's subjective. Not interested. What does the Bible say? What saith the whole of Holy Scripture? What is the Bible reveal from Genesis to Revelation? And that's why we need to, as the true body of Christ, which would not include heretics, because they separate themselves. They have departed from Christ, and they prove it by their refusal to adhere to his authority, which is given to us in his word. His word is his authority. It's the final divine authority. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield on them that put their trust in him. The flower fades, the grass withers, but the word of God shall stand forever, Isaiah 40, verse 8. Jesus says in Mark chapter 13, verse 31, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture that is in the Bible. They don't want to deal with that one, do they? No, they're not interested. They're subverted. They're not interested in the truth. They're interested in justifying a twisted version of the truth, a half-truth, to justify their lifestyle. That's what it always boils down to. They do not want to be accountable. That's why people adopt to and migrate to this once saved, always saved, eternal security heresy, which is the first lie Satan ever told that caused the fall of the man and the woman in the garden. It's irrefutable. They don't want that to be true. Why? Because they're subverted. See, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. That means the authority of God, the authority thereof. God is the authority. And they do not want to submit to him. They do not want to repent. They do not want to lay down their life and follow Christ in this fleeting world. That's what this is all about. They want their ticket to heaven, and they don't want to be bothered by Jesus. They just want to feel good by maybe going to church, per se, or reading the Bible here or there, but they do not want to truly repent. When you repent, you lay down your life, and it's all about Christ at that point. And whatever he teaches and corrects you with, you humbly thank him for it. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And these people are anything but poor in spirit. They're full of pride. They're subverted. They undermine and deny the power, the authority of God that he has given us in his word. They're not interested, because that would cost them. And all they want to do is say, it was Jesus paid a perfect price. Basically, I'm free to live any way I like. There's nothing else has to be done. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible teaches an initial and a final salvation. They don't want to hear that. They want to make it a one-time event in the past that got saved, and that's it. They don't want any more responsibility. They're not interested in reading the Gospels. The Bible says grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You even got these dispensational, absolute demonic wolves that are teaching that the Gospels don't apply to us. They were written to us or for us, but they don't apply to us. See, so they basically have no divine authority in the life of the dispensationalists, and they're taking away from the Word of God, and their names have been removed from the Book of Life. Doesn't matter how godly they appear. They're absolutely subverted. That's the word Paul used here, the Holy Spirit. They're subverted. They're what the Bible calls men of corrupt minds. Anybody who can do that is a corrupted heretic, completely subverted, does not know the Lord. They deny the Lord that bought them, Peter said. And with good words and fair speeches, they're going on and deceiving the hearts of the simple, and they are to be marked. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. They're to be scoped out, put in the crosshairs, and marked by name so other people can beware of them. Any person that is of God, Jesus said, he that is of God hears God's words. Don't tell me you're of God when I'm giving you scripture and you're not interested in it because it doesn't fit your little false God that you created in your own image. And yet you try to borrow from scripture, the authority of scripture, to do that. You're subverted. You serve the God of self. You're sitting on the throne of your own heart. You don't want to be responsible and accountable to God in this life. And then they teach this thing about, you may just forfeit some rewards if you live in sin, but you can never not be saved. Absolute heresy. We've written 3 books on this. We've got boatloads of scripture and information. Just look up eternal security on the drop-down menu on safeguardyoursoul.com. That's like somebody saying, I got knocked off the horse, but I wasn't on the horse. They claimed somebody that falls away was never saved in the first place. So Jesus is a lunatic, according to them, because he said you could believe for a while and then what? In time of temptation, fall away. How are you going to fall away from something you're not in, you don't possess? Excuse me, whose intelligence are you trying to insult? You're not going to insult the intelligence of a sane, honest person. When Jesus invented the term fall away, Luke 8:13, it meant what it said. He meant what he said, and it says what it means. You can fall away. And how are you going to fall away if you haven't first believed? He even says that. They will believe for a time. And these people look so subverted. Well, they never did believe. They weren't saved. Jesus said they believed for some time. Doesn't matter how much time it is. And in time of temptation, they fell away. Jesus never taught eternal security. Paul never taught eternal security. Peter never taught eternal security. John, nobody. Jude, none of the writers of the New Testament taught that. In fact, they rebuked it and refuted it as a lie. That's the first lie ever told. And you are a child of Satan peddling a doctrine of devils. And you've got demons in your life. You say seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. And what is it specifically speaking of? Departing from the faith. Wow, there it is. So you're saying that you can't depart from the faith. How are you going to depart from the faith if you're not in the faith first off? Do you see just how mind-bogglingly, if that's a word, subverted these people are and how corrupted they are that they would dare to argue about that? And they're to be rejected, saints. Obey God and reject. Don't go on and on. Well, I really like what you think doesn't matter. Die to it. Put the axe to the root. Be crucified with Christ and reject them. It's the command of God. Let me read the text again, but avoid foolish questions. We're in Titus 3:9-11. Avoid foolish questions. Don't get entangled with things that really don't matter in the sense of they're not essentials. And genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. They're futile. I've been there. You get all worked up and you're like, this isn't even substantial enough to be. Anyway, but there are things that are. A man that is a heretic, there are things that are the essentials. And then when people want to go on and on and on arguing, in this very text, it defines who they are. They're subverted, especially when they're arguing against the truth. Lie not against the truth. James 3:14. Do not lie against the truth. When you see the truth, stop dead in your tracks. And if you're of God, you will. John 8:47, he that is of God hears God's words. Then he says, ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. That's how you know who is of God and who is, quote, not of God. Gotta love it. John 8:47. I want you to memorize it, and I want you to bracket and underline 2 phrases there. It's going to change your life. Of God and not of God. Who is of God and who is not of God? You're probably saying, this guy is a crazy person. Well, that's true. What's new? Anyway, I'm trying to talk verbally to try to almost highlight something when we're talking here that I want you to see in the Word. What I'm saying, if it's not the Word, is a lie. Do not be misled by any man. Like the Berean believers,
they put
Paul to the test. They search the Scriptures. Amen. What saith the Scriptures? That's what every true Berean believer is always asking. What does the Bible say? Not just one verse here or there. Like the little moral coward, siphon out a few verses to the exclusion of everything else, even in the immediate text, the OSAS, the eternal security moral cowards. No, we want to look at everything. And when you read the Bible, you're not going to come. Nobody that gets saved and gets in the Bible comes out with this idea, wow, I'm glad that I've been reading the Bible and I'm once saved, always saved. No, no. You got to have wolves. You got to have false leaders who make twofold child of hell, children of hell. they compass land and sea to do such, Matthew 23, to peddle this lie and to give them this guarantee that they're automatically going to be in heaven because they got initially saved. But that's not, why don't you ask the five foolish virgins about that? Go ahead. That's Jesus' teaching. And he said that was a parable. There were five foolish virgins. They were engaged. They were espoused to the bridegroom. That's Christ. There were 10 of them that were espoused to the bridegroom. Christ. This is Matthew 25, 1 through 30. I don't know how, unless you're a completely self-deceived, totally dishonest person, how you can read that parable and still believe this heresy of once saved, always saved. I could say that about 100 passages in the Bible. A lot of that's written in the book called Lie of the Ages. I want you to consider getting a copy. It's a 720-page book. It's on Amazon. It's on Safeguard Your Soul. It is a blockbuster. You are going to learn so many scriptures, and that's what really matters. So, the 10 virgins, how many of them made it into the bridal chamber? Come on, folks. This is in the first gospel in the New Testament canon, chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 1 through 13. How many of the 10 virgins made it into the bridal chamber? Five. Second question. How many were shut out? Wait a minute. I thought I was once saved, always saved. No, you're not. You're going to be eternally secure when you get to heaven, not before. For these people to run around and misuse scripture out of context, and not only are they using it out of context, some scripture and things said in the Bible will seem to say one thing, but when you lay them on the table, what collate them, 1 Corinthians 2:13, we compare, that means collate, scripture with scripture. That's how you come to the mind of Christ about any topic. When you're just siphoning something out and saying, well, it seems to say this and I'm running with it, because not only does this make me feel good and takes off any personal responsibility from me, so I can just relax, live any way I like and be lukewarm and still go to heaven, this also
sells. It's a money maker.
See, if you're a pastor or you're doing some kind of Christian ministry, this sells. It's easy to sell. Most people don't want personal responsibility. Jesus said that the Father's flock is a small flock. Luke 12:32. He said only a few are going to enter in down the narrow way, the straight gate that leads to life. And many there be which go in thereat down the broad way, that is, that leads to eternal destruction. Matthew 7:13-14. Most people do not want to be honest with God. And therefore, they are not going to be honest with His Word. And the Bible promises us that whoever despises the word of God, that's the authority of God, is going to be destroyed. Going to be destroyed. I believe that's Proverbs 13:13, I believe it is. The Bible says this too in Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Let me say this, friend. If you're not in the word, if you're out of the word, and I mean by in the word, if you're not in the word every day, and that needs to be in the morning, you put God first. Well, I got to go to work. Good, get up early. Well, I got to get up. Listen, all of that excuses, that just shows that Jesus isn't first in your life. You're not interested in putting Him first. Well, but you don't understand. I got to go make, don't want to hear it. Jesus said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And again, you're not rebelling against me. I'm just saying, I don't want to hear the excuses. We just need to do what God said to do. I am going to suffer the consequences if I don't. First means first. Is Jesus your first love? Not second, first. The first thing we should think about in the morning when we get up is Jesus and devour His word. Let it circumcise our hearts. That's what I was getting at. Buy the truth and sell it not. Proverbs 23:23. Let it circumcise our hearts every day. Let us be smitten. May God bless us to be smitten with conviction. May our consciences be made continually and increasingly sensitive to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So where we cannot act up in any way. I don't know about you, but when I act up and say or do things that my mind are thinking, it's getting real more and more minuscule, but it is, man, the Lord gets all over me about it. You know what I'm talking about, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And when we hearken to it in repentance, praise God, there comes the consoling. Hallelujah. Paul talks about the comfort of the Holy Ghost. So, we're talking about rejecting those who are not walking according to sound doctrine. They're walking in another gospel, which would
be the once saved, always saved, the eternal security heresy. And clearly,
that is another
gospel. Jesus said you must endure to the end to be saved. The Apostle Paul says
you're accursed if you're teaching it or believing it. Doesn't matter how secure you think you are in Christ, if you're teaching a false doctrine, you're a heretic, you're a false teacher, you're teaching another gospel, another Jesus, one who doesn't expect anything or hold you accountable, and it's by another spirit. Galatians 1, 6 through 8. See, we just talked about seducing spirits and doctrine of the devil. See, those are demons that are peddling these doctrines. That's the first doctrine Satan peddled, is that ye shall not surely die lie. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. He added one three-letter word that led to the fall of men. You shall not, Satan said, surely die. God is never going to let you go. He's never going to
forsake you. And yet we know that that promise is only to those who are choosing to presently abide in vital union with Christ. John 15, 1 through 6.
If you don't abide in Christ, you're going to be cast into the fire. What could that possibly mean other than what Jesus said? John 15, 6. Again, I'm using this as an example. They do not want to hear scripture like that because obviously John 3:16 is more divinely inspired than all the other things the apostles and even Jesus said, right? No, wrong, dead wrong. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But wait a minute, Jesus' words are more inspired than Paul's. No, they're not. Because Paul was Jesus' apostle. And he said, all, not some, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Again, these people, listen, God is telling on them. And I tell on them sometimes too. I say, you are subverted. You're a rebel in heart. You do not want to repent, lay down your life, bear good fruit, and take up the cross daily and follow Jesus. And therefore, you're hiding as a moral coward behind this false sham doctrine. You're subverted and you sin by doing that, being condemned of yourself. And that's why they fight it so hard, because they're in such rebellion. They refuse to make naked their heart before God and say, God, I'm a depraved, wicked sinner, and I need you to break me. I repent, and I lay my life in your hands, Holy Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, kill me. Let me die the death, O God. Let me be crucified, dead and buried with Christ, so that, Lord, if there's any raising up by your grace, it'll be by thy Holy Ghost and for your glory alone. And by your grace, in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to come to Jesus' meeting. That's why these people are doing what they're doing. Paul said this, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke. Some of you guys listening to this going, this dude is harsh. He's sitting there rebuking people. That's what it says. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's for the real body of Christ. Now, with a heretic, if they're rejecting the truth, after the first and second admonition, you try to help them see the truth. In other words, reject them. Then Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, after he says, preach the word, he says that the time will come, it will come, folks, it's here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. There it is. See, God tells on our rebellion, folks. You notice that? So, out of their own lust, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but out of their own lust, the lust of their hearts.
They will not adhere to sound doctrine.
Let's read it. Again, this is 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That means hold themselves accountable to it. See, they're subverted. They're not submitted to God. Therefore, they're twisting God's word to fit their own lifestyle instead of surrendering their life and just saying, Lord, I'm all yours. And though none go with me, still I will follow you. And that means I will love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I will show my love for you by obeying you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, there it is. Again, God is telling on them, quote, they will not endure sound doctrine. They will not hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine. We have a generation of eternal security counterfeits. They want the guarantee of
heaven.
And a lot of fake preachers that'll tell them that they're
guaranteed heaven after they have initially believed upon Christ.
And they have no further responsibility. And that they can't fall away, even though Paul taught falling away. He said the Galatians fell from grace. Paul said, depart from the faith. 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. Galatians 5, 4. They fell from saving grace. How could you fall from grace if you weren't in grace? Didn't have it. Impossible. Jesus said you could fall away. They don't want to hear this. But this is what Christ and his apostles taught. In fact, we've got a post on safeguardyoursoul.com, and we got a lot of them if you look up the eternal security category. But anyway, what did Christ and his apostles teach? That right there is incredible post. I believe it's a chapter 2 in the book Lie of the Ages. Jesus and his apostles did not teach this heresy.
Once saved, always saved.
And you're subverted if you believe that. According to the definition, as a heretic, you're a subverted heretic, according to Titus 3, 10 and 11. This post is called The Message of Christ, His Apostles, and the Early Church. Just put in the word apostles, plural, in the search box. It'll come up.
On safeguardyoursoul.com.
It says, did Jesus teach eternal security? And it talks about that. Goes through the teachings of Jesus. Then it says, subtitle, did Paul, the Apostle Paul, teach once saved, always saved? Then it goes through Paul's teaching to show that did he not only not teach that, he taught contrary to that. He said, you got to endure to the end to be saved. You got to continue in the faith. You got to abide with Christ. Same with Jude and same with Peter. It goes through their teaching and shows that this extra biblical statement and cliche of once saved, always saved, and eternal security, those words never appear in Scripture. And the only place they appear in Scripture as far as concept is when you see Satan and the false teachers in Jeremiah and Ezekiel, etc., teaching that lie. Unbelievable. Promising people guaranteed peace with God. Eternal salvation, no matter what. If you just had one moment of belief. Let me say this. God wants a relationship with us. And if we're going to have a relationship with God, He's going to be the boss, not us. And it's on His terms, not ours. And God has conditions, not only initially, but ongoing. That would be like saying, you're going to get married, and many of you already are married, and there's no conditions in your marriage? Come on, man, that's lunacy. Like your mate can go do anything else they want with anybody else? They're acting like God is some kind of adulterer. That He just lets you go pour yourself out to anybody else, beginning with yourself as first before Him. That there's no requirements, no conditions. Everything goes, right? No, wrong. You're the pervert, subverted in heart. You're not enduring sound
doctrine because of your own corrupt, unrepentant heart.
You're not submitted to God. You're not even saved. So that's why you make a God up in your own image. And that doesn't even stand the test of a relationship between a sinful man and woman in this world. And yet you think you have this arrangement with God that you're somehow eternally guaranteed to be in heaven, even though you don't have time for God, you don't seek God, you're not one with Him, you're not honest with Him. You purposely evade parts of Scripture that convict you instead of falling on the sword and repenting. And you think you have a relationship with the one true God who is holy, holy, holy? David cried out in his repentance, Lord, let there be truth in my inward parts. Cry out to God. Psalm 51, according to the pattern of David. One of the things you need to pray is, God, let there be truth in my inward parts. Circumcise my heart all the way to the depth and core of my being, O God. Denounce all deception, all self-deceit. This is a process that's going to happen because we're all full of deceit, and only God can cleanse it as we truly repent. If you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have the Father or the Son. 2 John verse 9. Notice this. First of all, those who are subverted are not submitted to God, as we said earlier. Those who make choice to disregard, to refuse to be honest with God's word and not walk in sound doctrine according to the original gospel, the doctrine of Christ, it's called, they will be damned. Notice 2 John 7 through 11. It's only one chapter. And these three or four verses say this. For many, not a few, but many deceivers are entered into the world. That includes all once saved, always saved peddlers who can confess not, that would include all Jezebels, all Judaizers, Hebrew roots Judaizers, anybody teaching false doctrine of any flavor. These are part of the many deceivers that are entered into the world, all the dispensational devils, that's for sure. All who don't teach the original gospel, including teaching Christology, judgment, hell, holiness, the return of Christ, and what the conditions are to be accounted worthy to escape all these things, hell, etc. All of those things. You hardly ever hear those doctrines. They specifically remove them explicitly or intentionally in order to build a following. They don't care about Christ. They're subverted. They're heretics. It's not only what people are teaching, it's what they're not teaching that's so dangerous. But how are you and I going to know what they're not teaching and what the original gospel teaches, the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, if we aren't in the Word ourselves? Interesting. We've got a book also called The Original Gospel, and it helps you to rightly divide this and to get into God's Word yourself. To study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Then there's no way you're going to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth and see who's telling the truth, who's lying, if you're not in the Word yourself. You got to be exercised in the Word of God daily. You're not in the Word daily, you've already backslidden. 2 John 7-11, for many deceivers, not a few but many, are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves. There it is again. Personal responsibility. That we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses goes back on God, doing what's wrong after being saved, and abideth not, that is, remains not, in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. That means he's not of God, he's not saved. Remember, Jesus said, he that is of God hears God's word. See, they abide in the doctrine of Christ. And yet, he said, you don't hear his words because you're not of God. Anybody who could put away any part of God's word and dismiss it because they don't want to believe it is not of God. John 8:47. And right here, 2 John 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth or remains not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. They're not of God. They're not in the kingdom of Christ. If they were, they're no longer. He that abideth, that is, remains in the doctrine of Christ. You've got to serve God according to what he said. In general, that's what that means. What does the Bible teach, the doctrine of Christ? Not only specifically about him, but all of it. He that abideth or remains in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, here comes the heretics, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Don't ever bless somebody like that. Don't ever say God bless you. He said, don't you dare support them in any way. Don't give them a penny. It's amazing how many false teachers are really well funded. And knows that the few that are telling the truth, they've had to come out of the camp of the modern church because they're not accepted there and they don't want to be accepted there because they'd have to compromise and forsake
the Lord to do such.
They are, in many cases, barely getting along, if at all. Many of them couldn't even be sustained, so they had to go back
to secular work.
And these are elders that need to be ministering the gospel daily. We're in the last hour. There's no profession more important.
There is no calling in the earth that compares.
There's nothing more important on the earth going on right now and forever than the gospel. Father, send forth laborers in Jesus' name and bless your people to support them, God, in prayer and otherwise in Jesus' name. To bid Godspeed to your true prophets, oh God. We know that your reward to them will be great. It'll be sure and steadfast if they bless a prophet in your holy name. We thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. So if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. And that's what happened when the Apostle Paul went to the town of Berea. They checked him out. They put him to the test. They searched the scriptures, Acts 17:10-11, to see if whether or not those things were true that Paul was saying. I can just picture it. They got the scrolls. Back then they had the scriptures on scrolls. And they're just sitting there with their finger on the word of God like it was everything, because it is. And just using their index finger to read it real close as they look up every once in a while at Paul to see if what he's saying is true to God, if it's biblical, if it's according to the final authority, the divine standard of the Word of God. Acts 17:10-11. Let's teach on that. Let's get enriched in that passage. It's so important. And let's teach the body of Christ that, beloved saints. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him
Godspeed.
Do not bless him in any way. Now here's why. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Wow. What does that mean, brother? You're going to be judged with him. You're an enemy of God. You're acting like you're just trying to be nice and sweet. Jesus wasn't nice and sweet like that. He lambasted these animals.
Animals?
Yeah, wolves are animals, right? Jesus said they're wolves in sheep clothing and here to devour their prey. Matthew 7:15, etc. Some people care more about people's feelings and about protecting the wolves than they do all of the people that are being deceived by those wolves. Those people are absolutely subverted and they need to repent because they're
bidding Godspeed to the very enemies of Christ. You and I had better not defend a wolf.
You better expose him. That tells you exactly who you are. If you're defending a wolf, you're part of the spirit of Antichrist. You're not a part of the kingdom of Christ. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker
in his evil deeds of misleading the people for whom Christ came and died. You will be judged with him if you support him in any way.
And these people need to be marked and exposed so that they will possibly come to repentance and or other people that are misled by them can be warned, or people that aren't misled by them can be warned before they get misled by them. Let's go ahead and close on this one. A sister in Christ wrote this. Her name is Julie. She said, "Keep your pearls for whom the Lord directs you to give them to." Being a sweet, quote-unquote, she puts quotations, being a sweet Christian who ends up shredded by the pigs, that's what swine are, taught me a great lesson. Apparently this sister, as we all have to go through these learning things, she was shredded by the swine. Jesus said, don't give your pearls to swine, or that which is holy to dogs, because they'll turn again and what? Rend you. That means rip you. She uses the word shredded. She got shredded by him. Then she says, quote, more discernment, dear Lord, please, and thank you, Jesus. Amen. Julie Thompson. God bless our sister there. That's true. Satan's come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's what he uses his human agents to do from us. Wisdom, though, is that if you think someone can lie to people and go so far as to lead them into bondage that God never intended, then that person still be a good brother in Christ. You have something coming to you. You have to learn. That would not be the characteristics of the fruit of a true child of God, to mislead somebody else. Paul said they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're deceiving and being deceived. It will always end up bad as long as you keep the heretics around. I tell you what, I try to keep my surroundings pure from them. God intends for that. He wants us to be in peace, Scripture says. He is the Prince of Peace. And he says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. I believe it's Romans 12 toward the end. So what does that mean? Well, live peaceably with all men, as much as lies in you. And one of the ways you live peaceably with some people, notice he said all men, is to reject them, get them away from you. You're in two different kingdoms. Oil and water don't mix. Wait a minute, brother. That's not living in peace. Yes, it is. You just have to reject them, like Jesus told us through the Apostle Paul right here in Titus 3:10-11. If they're a heretic, reject them. There's the peace. As soon as they leave, there's going to be more peace in your life so that you can operate in peace. That's how we are to operate. Remember, the wisdom, James wrote, that is from above, is what? First pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And watch this, the fruit of righteousness is sown, what? In peace of them that make peace. God wants you to sow in peace, not be entangled with people who don't want him. May God bless our discernment to grow and to be increased in Jesus' name. Notice Jesus said they lie in wait, or Paul did in Ephesians 4. They lie in wait, these heretics, to deceive. I have it happen all the time that people start, sometimes it's subtle in the beginning. They start engaging you, something in them, and it's not God, it's the devil. They won't repent, so it's the devil that's in control of their life, and they're trying to push something on you. I had a guy recently trying to push this baptism in the name of Jesus only, or you're not even saved, I guess he was teaching. And kind of hard to see exactly what he was meaning by this, but it wasn't good. And I asked him, I said, okay, so Jesus taught, he told us baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? He goes, yeah. I said, well, do you think that Jesus knows who the Son is? Matthew 28:13. Think about it. Well, it's got to be in the name of Jesus. Okay, I know. I baptize, water baptize people by the authority. That's what in the name of means, in the authority of Jesus Christ. I always say that. I baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. You going to argue with that? I'm doing all of it. Anyway, he was obviously part of oneness Pentecostalism and stuff, but I finally ran him off because he's a heretic. Now, do I hope he remains there? No, but we need to obey God and reject them. See, they lie in wait. They lurk to deceive. That's what Paul says. He says this as we close. It's Ephesians 4:15. That henceforth we'd be no more children. And this is what the elders of the body of Christ are doing. They are maturing the saints and teaching them discernment. Ezekiel 44:23. God's ministers teach discernment. Let me say it again. Somebody needs to grab this and learn it and share it from now till you're with Jesus. Ezekiel 44:23. Ezekiel 44:23. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the slight, the deceit of men, and cunning craftiness, see, deception, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people lying in wait to deceive. That's what they live to do, is to mislead others, just like the Pharisees, who would go across land and sea to find somebody that could deceive and make a twofold child of hell of them, Matthew 23. So beware, saints. Let's not be tossed to and fro. Let's be grounded in the Word of God and rich in the Scriptures, studying daily the Word of God and rightly dividing the Word of truth so that we're not tossed to and fro by every false wind of doctrine that blows through the church world. God bless you. Thank you for praying for the ministry and thank you for listening.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.